Like they said, my name is John Stiltner. I'm a junior here. I've been walking with the Lord for a little more than a year now, and this is how it all happened. So I grew up with loving parents in a good area who were always supporting me in any way possible. From a young age, I was taught that to be a Stiltner meant to be honest, to have integrity, and to help those in need. If you started something, you didn't quit, and you gave everything in your power to make sure that things got done the right way. These things were ingrained into my mind from a young age, and they were demonstrated by people around me on a regular basis. The bar was set high for me, and because of this, my parents were very strict. They wanted to make sure that I set myself up for success in the best way possible in every area of my life. I'm very thankful for this. However, this would often put a strain on our relationship. There was never much emotion shown in our household, and as a side effect, compulsively lying became a regular habit for me. I wanted to please them in any way possible. I wanted to make them think that I was a good kid and that I was building myself up to excel in the future. I couldn't fathom the idea of opening up to them about all of the things that I was really struggling with. With nobody at home to open up to, I began idolizing my friends and peers around me. As early as middle school, I began drinking, smoking weed, and vaping to fit in with other people. These things were fun for a while, but when the smoke cleared, I began to realize that I had created some serious addictions in my life. I would show up to school high almost every day, and almost every weekend I would sneak out to go party with my friends. And at this point in my life, I couldn't imagine another definition of freedom. My friends and peers around me saw me as this crazy, funny kid who would never turn down a good time, and my family still saw me as their perfect little angel. Now, of course, with all the lying and sneakiness, they never really knew who I was. That is until the grades began to fall, and I would slip up and leave weed in my car or in my bedroom, which they would later find. This completely killed our relationship. Most weeks I was grounded for failing drug tests that they would give me or for getting caught sneaking out. They didn't trust the word that came out of my mouth. There was nothing worse than coming home from school every day to a family of strangers. I remember one specific day, after serving 2 to 3 weeks of my 1 month grounding sentence, I had had enough. I wrote a note to my mom, letting her know that I was leaving for good. I packed a bag, left a note on her bed, and ran out the back door. My plan was to run away, and since I was 18, there was absolutely nothing that they could do to stop me. I still remember the phone calls and the voicemails from them. I remember the hurt and the anger and the confusion that they had. They were so shocked that I would just get up and go. About a month or two later, after I was out of money, out of hope, and to be honest, just out of places to stay, I decided to come home. And this was a big decision because I fully thought that when I came home, I was going to be put in handcuffs and locked in my room for about a year. And I'm only like half exaggerating on that. Like, I really thought that's what was going to happen. But to my surprise, I came home and they just greeted me with open arms. They were simply happy to have their child back. And things began to look good for the first time in a long time. And then it was time to go to college. And having never really broken those addictions from middle school and high school, the first decision I made upon choosing to come to OU was to join a fraternity, where once again, I fell victim to the only life I had ever really known. That is until one day my sophomore year, as I was walking into Nelson, I met a man named Brandon. He asked me for a couple seconds of my time to fill out a short survey about my spiritual life, and for whatever reason, I did. He later reached out and asked to get coffee the next day, and before I knew it, I was sitting in a Starbucks with Brandon and Carson Miller, trying my absolute hardest to destroy everything that they stood for. For an hour or two, I was drilling them with questions like, why does God allow so much evil in this world, and why do you believe the Bible? Man, you should have seen the looks on their faces. I don't know. To my surprise, at the end of that meeting, I still think they're crazy to this day because they actually invited me to another meeting they had going on that Thursday called 180. I went, and it was the best decision I've ever made. I remember reading the lyrics on the screen as the worship band began to perform, and I just started to cry. Something was happening inside of me that was better than any high this world had ever given me. I later picked up a Bible and began to read every day and ask hard questions about the things that I was struggling with. I could see my life beginning to change. A short period later, I decided to go on a spring break trip with crew in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where I even learned to share this newfound faith, and I started building true relationships with mature, like-minded Christians. My hope and dependence was starting to come from God and no longer from the things of this world. I learned what Jesus went through for me. I learned that there was absolutely nothing I could do to add to the work that he had already done. I no longer had to search this world for my identity because Christ secured my identity for me when he chose that our relationship was more important than his own life. Because of this, I began to take steps to repair my relationship with my family at home and to fight these addictions I had struggled with for so long. My parents are now more involved in their churches at home than ever before, and my dad is raising my two little sisters into confident women in Christ. Now, every single day is still a battle for me between the old and the new, and there are still many lingering effects from my years of selfish living. However, I reflect on what Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Philippi. He opens with prayer and thanksgiving, stating in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, if the Lord can work with someone as broken and as lost and as in love with the world as I was, he can do the same for you guys. But you have to stop running away. He's waiting for you with open arms, and he wants to have a true relationship with you. But you can no longer live one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You have to fully surrender, and that's where you'll find his love. If you guys relate to my story or you just want to get to know me better, I'd love to catch up and grab coffee sometime this week, or you can find me down here after 180. But my name is John Stiltner, and this has been my 180 story.
Thanks to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the 180 Podcast, a production of Crew in Southeast Ohio. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like, a share, or leave an encouraging comment, and that will go a long way toward helping others hear about the podcast. The podcast isn't the only thing that we do. Whether you're a student living on campus or if you're still at home studying virtually, we'd encourage you to check us out on social media to hear more about what's going on. You can follow us on Instagram at crew@OU, or to learn more about who we are and what we do, head over to our website, crew@OU.org. We'd encourage you, if you visit the site, to complete our involvement form to get more connected to all the things that are happening. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday for another episode of the 180 Podcast.